really, it's all about making sure that your website is visible on the search engines. You could have the most amazing website that looks great to human eyes, but Google mightn't be able to read it. So our job in the SEO world is to make sure that Google understands your website. But there's a couple of things you need to be aware of when you start digging into this. For example, there's two different types of SEO. You have white hat SEO, which is all the good stuff, and you're playing by the Google games. And then there's another part, which is called black hat SEO. So you need to be very aware of that. You might be getting emails at the moment, particularly spammy emails if you're in business. A lot of them tend to come from India in particular, where they're promising to get you to number one in Google very fast. If they're saying stuff like that to you, it means that they're more than likely using black hat tactics, which will end up getting your site penalized and you'll be in a worse situation than you were before you started. So it's really important that you know what you're doing when you start looking at this.
So the trick is to learn to schmooze Google in the right way.
Exactly.
So just very briefly before we go on to talk about the good things to do, what are the things you really don't want to do for Google?
Okay, right. Well, you definitely need to be careful about buying links. You know, do not do things like keyword stuffing, we call it. That's where it was very popular a couple of years ago, where if you're in a particular industry, so for example, let's just say you're a physiotherapist and you're putting physiotherapy everywhere, you know, across your website, that will actually get penalized now by Google for duplicate content. So that would be an old black hat tactic that helped you beat the search engines, but now it's no good to you.
Okay. So how can we beat the search engines? That we'll take the first thing you want to talk to us today about is relevance, having the material that is relevant that Google is looking for. What does that mean?
Yeah, so basically what that means is if you look at Google as an industry, it's trying to, you know, create the perfect internet. So what it's trying to do is marry up the person who's searching for something with the business that has the answer to that search query. So you need to be thinking outside the box all the time. What are your visitors going to look for? What terms will they look for to find your business or your product? And if you have quality content on your site, then that will automatically tend to get generated and Google will start to pick up this person over here knows what they're talking about. You also need to be aware of what's called a semantic search. So again, we were talking about keyword stuffing. You know, you don't want to use that, but use words around physiotherapy or around osteopathy if that's the area you're in. So you might talk about things like tension headache or migraine or general headache, things that Google is expecting to find that are to do with your particular industry.
So that cluster of keywords that are associated with your main business.
Yeah, exactly. And don't just keep using those because they're changing the algorithms all the time. So, you know, previously people will be aware that you could just type in certain words into the search engine. Google is really, really smart now. So it's able to understand plain English search terminology, as you'll see when you put it into the particular box. So you need to be putting into your website, you know, things that people are going to look for. So if you've got a dog grooming business, let's just say, you know, what are you going to talk about? Are you going to talk about different breeds of dog, different types of dog, how to look after certain types of dog? You know, being helpful, if Google sees your site as being helpful as well, it'll start to trust your site more, that you're not just banging on about sell, sell, sell. It's like a soft sell, if you know what I mean.
Okay, so you've made yourself relevant by having the top quality content. You have the information and the materials there that people are looking for. But the next thing is that it has to be recent. And I think we are all familiar with looking at websites and you know they were made in, I won't say 1989, but maybe 1999 and no one has looked at them since.
Yeah, particularly static websites. We see a lot of those working with the enterprise board. So if you've got a static website, you know, you're going to be in trouble. There's no way around it, but it's not the end of the world.
So tell us what a static website is. It's one where you have a page and you don't do anything with it. It's just an information.
Exactly.
It's a page of information about you.
It is basically, and your typical website, again, going back to the 80s and I suppose early 90s, you know, you'd have your home page, your about us page, contact us page, and maybe not much more. And that site was thrown up there and forgotten about. You know, it was like you open the shop doors and just wait for people to walk in. Whereas now you've actually got to go out there and make people aware of it. So Google will always rank your competitor higher if your competitor is producing content. Again, I'm always, when I say content, I mean top quality. And if they're producing it more regularly than you, it's going to rank that site higher. So you need to make sure that maybe you're blogging, you know, at least once a week. Commit to doing something that you're going to stick to and try and build it up from there. So blogging is a great way to keep on top of your website. So as I was saying, it's not the end of the world. If you have an old website, just ask your web developer to tap on a blog onto one page of your website, and you can use that then to be filling it with things that are going on in your business, what's happening in the industry, if there's anything you feel that would be of benefit to people who deal with you that you can advise them about. And another thing people forget to do as well, Claire, actually, we were talking about this offline, is when you're putting up images online, you know, a lot of people throw up images straight from the camera. They don't rename the image. So you can help yourself get found by giving that image a name that somebody might possibly look for your business for. So if you go back to the dog groomers, you might give that image a name of Doggy Bath Day, or, you know, X Shampoo for dog grooming, things like that, because they will come up in the Google search images SERPs.
Okay, so blogging is one way to keep your website updated. I see on some websites that where they update their Twitter feed and their Twitter and their Facebook link to their web page. Does that count, or is that counted separately?
It is. It does count, but it wouldn't be seen as important as having a blog or something, you know, that's actually putting information into the website. Because, again, if you take a tweet, you know, it's 140 characters, very short and snappy. It's not giving much information to the person who's looking at that tweet. So really, if you look at your Twitter account as backing up what you're saying on the website.
OK, so my information is relevant. I'm updating it regularly. Now, the last thing that you wanted to talk to us today about is authority. What does that mean in terms of my website?
Okay, so again, Google now is looking, how do you make Google trust you? Really what it's looking for is the authority in that space. So whatever industry it's looking at, it's trying to find the top person there, that's the go-to person whenever somebody does a search on Google. So we all know them, you know, if you put in searches for different companies, a lot of the bigger companies will come up, but some of the smaller companies are starting to come up now because they're able to move faster at this SEO stuff. So a way to build authority is if you put in place what we call a link building strategy. So you identify who are the important websites in your industry that you can perhaps get a link back from. So let's say if you're a small food producer, you could maybe try and get an article submitted into the Irish Farmers Journal Country Living magazine, and they would provide a link back to your website then. So Google considers the Farmers Journal as of higher quality, say, than your food producing business, because you're way smaller. So it would consider, it will start to rank you higher slowly as you get links back like that. Now, the one thing you do not want to do is go out and buy links, because, again, it's very smart. It's able to identify who has bought links. And if it sees an unnatural pattern, again, you're going to fall foul of the penalization rules.